Okay, I'm calling this the beginning of this podcast. Welcome to the shot of my arm. Everybody at home,
if you're listening to this and wondering what's happening, it's because we're using new equipment, new software.
Oh, we can't blame it on that forever.
Well,
no, we're good. This is all set up. This is just a thing of, I was telling Z a second ago, like, okay, we're actually going live at 9 o'clock, and she's like, oh, okay, like, okay, 4 minutes. What? So, while you share this on Facebook Live, good job. And I talk about what I'm doing in preparation for tomorrow. Tomorrow is our big. I'm giving a lecture about how to be a successful streamer, which I never thought I'd do, ever. And there are, in my opinion, there are puppeteers that have been streaming longer and better with all the equipment and all the kinks and hiccups mm-hmm. already sorted out. That could definitely and probably are right now giving the same exact lecture. With more experience, but it just so happened that it just kind of fell into it. So, oh, hey, that is not a good idea. Everybody at home just heard this. Yeah, that was Z setting a metal object on the table with the microphone. You see, that's what I'm talking about. A little bit of inexperience, yet somehow luck.
And lovable.
And yeah,
see, so lovable.
Yeah, so lovable.
So lovable.
Has kind of thrust us into this position, so we're going to do our best to help everybody out. Because even though we're just still starting and learning and moving, and we're heading in a direction, there are people out there with a lot less experience mm-hmm. in terms of tech and like knowing about streaming platforms and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So that's what I'm hoping to impart an all day today while you were gone recording a secret project.
Secret project, can't talk about it.
In our friend's house.
Recording on Easter Sunday. So secret project involved recording something for 4 hours without interruption, which meant I couldn't do it here. But luckily, I have the keys to my friend's house and they are not here. They're in New Hampshire. So I went up there and brought my computer, my microphone, my second monitor, everything, set it up in their house, and then recorded.
There we go. Yeah, I want to make sure that we're actually the volume's coming through.
Audio.
You know.
Just checking.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so I did that for 4 hours.
Right.
Happy
and
Easter.
It was not like an ASMR thing.
No, it's nothing weird, but I just am not allowed to talk about it.
Which is good. That's a great. The things that you're not allowed to talk about, I'm allowed to talk about. It's every time you get promised something, like somebody promises you the world, and you're like, wow, this is amazing. This is happening. We're so mm-hmm. jazzed. In my experience, it's probably not going to happen, right? Like maybe 50%, maybe 25% in some situations, like it actually happens. And you're like, wow, this thing I was promised is actually coming true. So we had a couple of interviews over the last few weeks that have come up, and they're probably not going to happen. Or maybe I've been contacting the people that interview is like, hey, is that going to mm-hmm. happen? Because sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Radio silence, which means
that's
probably not going to happen.
From both of them?
Well, yeah, but it's like we get it. We're video producers, we're writers. It's sometimes it's like you think you're heading in one direction and then your editor's like, nah, or you get pulled in a different direction or something mm-hmm. happens, all kinds of stuff. So there were a couple things in the works. I was like, oh man, it'd be awesome to have an article written or something.
Yeah.
Because,
if you guys know anybody who wants to write an article about an interesting couple who's living in the epicenter of the epicenter, who's doing puppet shows out of their tiny two-bedroom apartment with their children, also living with them,
yes.
also trying to do schooling and working for the Jim Henson Foundation, send them our way.
Yay.
We would love to talk to them and tell them about our crazy life now.
Right. I was going to say, that is not a plug, but why not?
Why not?
We don't know
who's listening. It could be like some amazing journalist who's like, that sounds like an amazing story. That's what we're doing. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're listening out there. So this week, we're parents. We're in Astoria, Queens. Mm-hmm. It's the epicenter.
We're puppeteers.
Right. I mean, our county, Queens County, has gone from being the most diverse borough to also the most hurt borough in the entire world, basically, at this point.
Well, right now, currently. I mean, that's going to change. That will change.
It's not a contest, but it's like you can't go outside if there's like 700 people that don't make it each day. You know, it's just surreal. And any time that we have to go out, you know, I see dog people walking their dogs, and that's it. Like, I don't see anybody just like, what quarantine? Blah, blah, blah. No, it's like everybody has masks. The two or three people that I see when I go to the supermarket at the odd hours, so nobody's there. Everybody either has masks or gloves. Or dogs.
Well, can I comment on today? Because that's been our usual day today, but today was Easter Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And I was out because, I had that special top secret project. I had to walk about a, 15-minute walk to my friend's house and then back. And it was a beautiful day out today. The sun was shining. There was a mild breeze, like the most idyllic, perfect Easter Sunday weather. And on my walk there, I felt like I was in a dystopian video game because it was so quiet for like 9:15 a.m. in the morning on a Sunday. No trains were running. In that moment that I was walking, I didn't hear any trains. And where we live, there's an above ground platform train. So I didn't hear a train. I didn't see anybody. There were no cars on 31st Street, which where we are in Astoria, that's like the main street right underneath where the train is. And I just saw like one or two people and they wouldn't make eye contact and they had masks on. And I was like, I am in some kind of messed up like Fallout video game situation right now. And like if somebody approaches me, a word bubble is going to go over their head and like tell me their thoughts in like text. So just get to where you're going, Z. Stop thinking about the nightmare. Just get there, you know, breathe deep.
It's funny you call it like a dystopian, like fiction. But it's like, you know, science fiction has become reality, right. You know, it's like all you need to be is like an angsty, brooding teen and you have every YA novel for the last 20 years. So this is the successful ones anyway.
Well, I want to tell you about my walk back, though. So that was my walk there.
Uh-huh.
And then about 4.5 hours later, I got to walk back from my friend's house with all my stuff again.
Yeah.
And this time, what was so interesting is I saw at least 5 different groups of people who were visiting with each other, social distancing.
Okay.
So they were like sitting outside. So they'd planned it. They wanted to see each other. Everyone is wearing some kind of face covering. They're all sitting far apart, and they had brought their own chairs.
Nice.
So you have somebody like on a balcony, you know, talking like with a long, elongated conversation with drinks, with people in their driveway. You have somebody who like is just lighting up a smoke, you know, who's like talking to somebody else across the street. I mean, it was really like there was this need, I think, because of the holiday and the sunshine. People just wanted to see each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. I really kind of wanted to take a picture of it because it was definitely a moment in time. Like this, especially the group in this driveway of like people, I couldn't even tell if they were very good friends. It almost seemed like maybe they were neighbors that hardly visit each other, but they were just like, how are you getting on? Yeah. You know what? I'll grab a chair. You know, and we'll just talk for a while.
It's so funny. That is the scariest thing in the world to me right now is like, you know, even just staying 6 feet apart from people is such a risk. It's crazy because in the past week, we've had multiple friends who've become sick.
Yep.
And it's like you're either going to get like a mild case or it's going to be like, you know, like touch and go. And, you know, how is that going to affect your family? Like if you have kids, you know, like it doesn't care if you're young or old. That was like the rumblings we heard early on. I was like, oh, well, nobody under 9. has gotten the virus, right? But now it's not true.
Well, yeah, kids can get it, but the mortality rate is, like, hardly anything.
Yeah.
A very, very, very slim chance that a child will die from it. But they will get it. They can get it. But it's generally mild, or it's a flu, but they'll get over it. But the thing that my understanding is, and now I have not kept up with the news as much the last couple of days because I can't, it's like too much. I go down this spiral of feeling like overwhelmed by it all. So I check in and then I check out for a couple of days and I check in again and I check out. So the last time I checked in, one of the things that scientists were really trying to figure out was, why is it that some people get really sick and some people don't? Because there didn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to it. Because you have people who are, you know, vivacious and healthy and strong and don't have any underlying health conditions who sometimes are getting really, really sick. And then you have other people who are completely asymptomatic and don't show anything. And that's the thing that's just scary, is that you don't know until you get it which category you're in. And the thing that I think that I am struggle with is I have a fear that we might get sick. And what if we both got sick at the same time and it was bad? Like that's like one of my number one fears right now, is that we both get sick and that the kids can't fend for themselves. And then we're in like a Laura Ingalls Wilder scarlet fever situation where somebody's crawling with like a wooden ladle for water or something. If anybody read those books, you know what I'm talking about. But, you know, I think I got scarred by the Scarlet Fever book. You know, went blind. Almost died.
The Velveteen Rabbit, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's like all of his toys went out to the burn pile. And at the end, the whole story is about like, it's okay if we had to burn your toys after the terrible, almost gotcha a fever that you had, because look, it turned into a real rabbit, maybe. And don't read the sequel. There's a sequel. Don't read the sequel.
Well, also, you know, Leaf really wanted, about a month ago, he said, can we read The Secret Garden again? Because we started it and then we never finished it. But the thing is, The Secret Garden starts with the Black Plague. I think that was the plague, or maybe it was the Spanish flu. I mean, it's something where everybody in India is sick and dying, and both of her parents die because of the plague, and that's why she's sent off to live at this like random house, mansion place.
The kid with issues mansion.
Yeah, the kid with issues mansion.
I have a hump too.
I have zero empathy, but I will gain empathy through the garden. So anyway, it's I was like, I don't know if I have that book right now. We might have to get it from the library. Excuse. So, you know, Leaf, we can revisit that book when you're, you know, a little older and we're not in the middle of a pandemic. That's how I'm feeling.
I mean, we've been talking about, one of our close friends, another thing, the boys are kind of rambunctious, is like, we've been kind of fearing about like, oh man, what if one of our kids hurts themselves? Because there have been a couple times where they're just like jumping from this little trampoline we have onto the couch at like Spider-Man, but they don't have superpowers. What if one of them gets hurt and we have to take them in? And it's just in the past couple hours happened to a good friend of ours where their baby got hurt.
And, well, 1.5-year-old,
like maybe broke a bone. And it's like, oh my God. You know, you don't want to have to go to the hospital, but you have to. So what do you do? And it's like, you know, thank goodness for mom groups giving out, you know, good advice. Good, I hope, advice.
Yeah. Like, I'm in this, mom chat of, like, I don't know how many we are. 10, 11 moms. It's a little overwhelming. I love it. I love being in it, but I just have a hard time keeping up. So like every few days I'm like, hold on, Chad, I need like 30 minutes so I can catch up on what's happening with my friends. And I'm like backtracking for days, reading. But you know what's really nice is that is this amazing support system. And so everybody was like giving out ideas of like different places that this one mom could take her daughter, because you don't want to go to the emergency room right now. You really don't. So we found a place, and hopefully she's going to be okay. Fingers crossed. But It's, yeah, there's a lot of telehealth happening right now, but it's just like, it's Easter Sunday. It's a Sunday evening. Like, it feels like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do?
Okay, so
yes.
We've had some dissenters about the Secret Garden saying it was an earthquake in the movie that takes out her parents. Well, but maybe it was the TV movie that we saw growing up, because I distinctly remember watching that and people had like this, like, bodies in piles burning outside mm-hmm. their house mm-hmm. and like all the rich white people are inside trying to pretend that the Black Plague is not existing, and then like their father like coughs at the dinner table, like blah, 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 and everyone's like in a panic because the Black Plague has come.
I think we saw the same movie. Yeah.
Yeah, it was not a fun story and not a fun movie, not a children's movie, but there it was on the children's shelf at the video rental store.
Well, it was definitely children. Well, no, I mean, it was definitely derived directly from the book, and the book starts with the Black Plague, but also it really hammers home how difficult and defiant this little girl was. That she wasn't given the kind of love that she needed, but then also she just lacked empathy for other people, for her surroundings, for animals, and and then I'm not going to dissect the book because I'm not actually, I didn't finish it with Leaf, but we got to the garden and things were starting to grow and it was very exciting. And so then we moved on to other things.
Isn't there like a time jump towards the end? I remember in the movie they come, it's like 20 years later and he's like, I came back from the war and now I have a limp.
Don't
you remember when I pretended to have a hump because I had issues as a kid? And she's like, I thought you would always come back to my garden, you know?
I don't remember
TV movie seared into my brain.
No, you know what my favorite TV movie is that was based on a classic children's book?
Ugh.
Okay, stop. You didn't even hear what it was yet, and you were like, ugh. No,
all you had to say was classic children's book.
No,
and
listen.
Immediately, I'm like,
no.
Check out.
Okay, it was amazing. I just want to tell you all, it was amazing. It was a 4-hour-long Alice in Wonderland that came out in the 80s, and it was like a 2-night special. So the first night was book one. Stop saying, ugh. One of my favorite things. Yuck on my yum, as we say, as parents.
Which one? Was it the celebrity version, or was it the UK version?
The celebrity version.
Oh, so Whoopi Goldberg was in it?
No. Carol Channing.
Okay.
Sammy Davis Jr.
Okay.
All right. Red Buttons. That guy from Charles in Charge. What's his face?
Yeah,
Scott Baio.
A bunch of like TV celebrities.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so the first night was Alice in Wonderland, and the second night was Through the Looking Glass, and it was so weird and good and scary. And I'll tell you, the Jabberwocky, that I think was an influence on me for puppets. Like, you know, I mean, it wasn't like the thing, because there were so many things that like made me feel like that feeling of like, oh my gosh. But when the Jabberwocky came out at the end of the Alice in Wonderland thing, because he comes out at the end of Alice in Wonderland and then at the beginning of Through the Looking Glass, and then at the end again of Through the Looking Glass. Ugh, mind blown. At the time, for me, such a good puppet. So scary. Had like drool, like sticky ooze, like with the mouth, and it was shiny, like it was covered in something, and they had lightning effects. And I was like, oh, this is scary, and I love it. So, yeah, I would definitely watch and be like, oh my God, I love it. I'm scared. And it was the best.
Well, you had no fear factor when you were a kid. You were watching R-rated movies when you were like a tiny little one.
Well, we had cable and there were no rules.
Yeah.
There were no rules. So I watched things I shouldn't have watched, but also didn't real like I did, in me I just always knew, well, this is TV and I'm not scared.
You watch Poltergeist. And that, watching that in film school, even just out of context, one scene out of Poltergeist, which is like probably one of the scariest scenes in all of cinema history. And we're not talking like gore. It's just like there's a clown toy and a little boy in his room at night. And it's so like I was there, you know, and like well directed, well acted, practical effects were amazing. And just like the one scene out of context is the scariest And if you can beat that in a practical effect kind of way, write that in the comments.
Okay, well, I want to can I follow that up with something?
Yes, you actually. May.
So, yeah, watched it as a kid multiple times on HBO. Mm-hmm. Was not fazed because I was just like, look, it's an I don't know, somehow I just knew that those were actors or something. Like it just didn't connect with me, but now if I watch it, oh yeah, fear. But it's because of like life. Like, because I have a concern of being a parent. Also, I think that, like, my empathy meter is just high. Like, high. You know what movie freaked me out to a point where I couldn't watch it?
What?
Was, what is that movie with the people of color family and they're in a house?
Cosby's. And...
No, a movie. No. The more recent horror movie and it was, like, a family.
What,
was that what it was called? Us?
Where the doppelganger show
yes,
up?
Yes, that's it. Yeah. So I decided I was on a plane on the way to France and I was like, what am I going to watch? Well, I'm definitely going to watch some movies because, you know, you're on your way to France. It's time to watch a movie. And I'm like, you know, scrolling through the movies and then I see it. I'm like, oh, you know what? I never watch trailers. And I watched this trailer for another movie we went to see in the theater. And I remember saying to myself, you know what? That looks like a really good horror movie. I want to watch that movie. And so I was like, I'm going to do it. And so I'm sitting in my little airplane seat with my little headphones on and the screen is like 6 inches away from my face and I'm watching it and I'm watching it. And then all of a sudden, I get real scared. Like, I can feel my heart going boom, 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 boom. And for anybody that's seen it, I'm not ruining anything, but it's the moment where the dude's in the driveway. And I, all of a sudden, I was just like, nope, I'm done. I'm out. Mic drop. Done. Can't do it. Because, like, it's not like, you know, when you're home and you're like, you know, I'm just going to pause and get something out of the fridge. You're on an airplane. There's nowhere to go, you know? And so all of a sudden, I was just like, the screen is too close. I am too invested. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm already freaked out. I'm flying to France. I don't know the language. And oh my God. So had to stop that one. That was like, whew, too much.
So great job, filmmakers. You did it.
Well, now I don't know what happens. I still want to watch it. I just wish I didn't get so scared. But yeah, as a kid, didn't get scared. Totally watch anything as a kid.
No, so would you continue watching that movie?
If I was home, I think I would because I can pause it, you know, walk away or like stand up or something. I don't know, just remind myself that like it's a movie, like do something. But I don't know. Does anybody else get like really sucked in when you're on an airplane? I feel like when I watch a movie on an airplane, it affects me in like so much of a deeper way than it does any other time that I'm watching a movie outside of a movie theater.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm the opposite.
Because I'm like tunnel vision. Like I'm like, I am leaving this airplane behind. I am in whatever you're doing. And then you know what? Another movie I watched on an airplane. That was like, I didn't know what was going to happen. And you guys are all going to be shocked because I really didn't know the ending was A Star is Born. So I'd never actually seen A Star is Born. And, right.
And you're not a teenager, so it's not been permeating into like your social circle for forever.
No. And it was like practically brand new. Like they had just released it on the airplane. So it had just come out like maybe a month prior or something. Mm-hmm. And I love Lady Gaga. She's like one of my heroes. So I obviously needed to watch it and no clue what was going to happen. Oh God, I was a mess. People are sitting next to me. I'm like, Oh God. And it just keeps going down. Sorry if you haven't seen it. It's intense. That's all I'm going to say. But, you know, definitely, I think they were feeling like, oh, that girl, she's got issues, man.
Yeah, Jessica says all the nope on horror movies, especially after being a parent, and I'm the one who has to be brave.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. But, I mean, here's the thing is that, like, I appreciate a really well-shot, well-thought-out horror movie. Yeah. I do. But now it has to, like, be kind of funny or something like you know one of my favorite horror movies is Gremlins 2. It's so good, such a good movie.
Well, it's like it's one of the best horror comedies.
Exactly,
for horror the ages. Comedy. Yeah,
yeah. This one, the what was it called again? Us.
Us.
See, I can't remember the name of
not
it.
Not a horror
but
comedy.
The image. No, too much, too real. like freaks me out, and then it just it plants a seed of like, well, this could happen. You know, you could go into a fun house and then 20 years later have doppelgangers following you, you know, everywhere you go or something. I don't even know. It was so scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay, sweetheart.
Thanks.
The people on the airplane next to you will not comfort you or care. They're just going to sleep.
No.
See, I get bored. I get bored on the airplane because I can't sleep. I literally cannot sleep in an airplane. So every time we're on a 13-hour plane trip across the world, looking forward to those, you know, maybe in like a year or two.
Someday we'll get to do that again.
Yeah, I just like, I literally can't sleep for more than 10 minutes at a time. So I'm just going to watch movies. But the monitor looks terrible. Maybe you get one with like a scratch on it. That's kind of like, oh, it's annoying that there's a scratch on the screen. And some of them, especially if you're on like a cheapo airline, the monitors are just terrible, just low quality. It's not HD. Thank goodness all the Asian airlines have really awesome monitors and great seats and, in my opinion, better customer, like, appreciation type of stuff. But anyways, no, it's got to be, like, a really good movie in order to get me in there, you know. Otherwise, I'm just, like, halfway through, like, a Korean War epic, like, okay, come on, come on. But I did watch, it's a great excuse to watch a bunch of Asian cinema that maybe you wouldn't have thought about before. Like, I watched a couple really great ones. Like, I'll try and find the name of it, but I think it's, oh, Memories of a Murder. Oh, it's so good. Let me tell you, you gotta look this one up. I know everybody's like, watching Parasite and all that director's films. But I think it's called Memories of a Murder. It's where, it's been a little while, so let me think about it. It's this cop. So there was a serial killer, let's say 10 years prior, and everybody thinks that the serial killer who killed a bunch of people, like, it was just a cold case and it never got resolved, but the killing stopped. So they're like, well, what happened? Nobody knows. Finally, when the day after the statute of limitations for the murders expires, thanks to South Korean laws, the murderer comes forward and says, I did it. Here's my book, and starts this amazing national talk show tour promoting his book, saying, I did it, and here's like all the information. And the cop who was chasing the serial killer, of course, has a problem with it. And so, like, it just goes from there, and it goes in directions that you're not prepared for.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
What was it called again?
I think it's called like Memories of a Murder.
Oh, cool. Or something. And it's South Korean?
Yeah. I mean, Korean cinema is huge. And that was one of the best that I've seen on an airplane.
You know, can I tell you a funny airplane thing that happened to me? Yes. I don't have these successes of airplane movies. Like, either they're super intense or they're awkward. so I don't know what happens to me when I go on these longer flights. I get this feeling like, you know what? I need to be cultured. I need to, you know, catch up on some kind of long lost classic that, you know, people reference in these smarty pants talks so that I can be like, oh, yes, I've seen that. Yes, that one time in that one movie. And so I was like flipping through something, and now I can't think of the name of it, but there was some movie, was it like Cowboy or something? American? No. Can't think of the name of it. But there's some highway cowboy. No. Anyway, there's a movie that's from the 70s that the one where the guy says, hey, I'm walking here. That movie. What's that movie? You know, where he pounds
Midnight Cowboy?
That's it. See, there's a cowboy in the name. Midnight Cowboy. Okay. So it won all sorts of awards. So I was like, oh, you know what? I have never seen this movie. Clearly, I'm missing out on something. So I start watching it. Yeah, there's full-on nudity in it. Like, full-on. And I'm sitting next to these people who can, like, see my screen easily and, like, other people. And I'm watching it, and I'm, like, shrinking in my seat. Like, oh, my God. I can't believe. What's happened? Should I keep watching? And I keep watching. And finally, I'm just like, I can't. It's, like, so awkward. I was like, I swear I'm not watching a porn. I'm watching this, like, you know, famous movie. What was it called? The Midnight Cowboy?
Yeah.
Famous movie. Like, star, you know, like, award winning. I'm just trying to get cultured. I don't know. I did not realize.
So I just want to put it out there. So I'm trying to find the name of the Korean film that I saw. It is probably not Memories of Murder. That's a different movie. That's like a Bong Joon-ho 2003 movie. So okay. I'm going to find, by the end of this podcast, I'll find the correct title.
All right.
Because that is also a serial killer drama, but it is not the right one.
We will stay on the edge of our seats, Chad.
It's
waiting.
Like, which waiting Google search terms do I use to find this one? Because the ones I used are bringing up the wrong info.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, while you do that, so let's see what else is happening. I don't know if anybody can relate. Our apartment is starting to become a disaster. Like, it's starting to get really messy. So it's usually pretty easy to keep it clean because it's a tiny space. However, because we are constantly here and constantly using the space, and whenever there's any downtime, well, actually, I never have any downtime. That's part of the problem, is that either we're teaching the kids, or we're working, or we're sleeping, or we're cooking, or we're doing the dishes, or doing the laundry, right? And so, like, when do we get to clean the apartment? And it's like, we clean the apartment as we're walking to something else. Like, I will be walking from one room to another, and I'll see, like, you know, some cat hair on the floor, and I'll be like, ew, disgusting, and I'll pick it up and throw it out. And I'll be like, oh, God, we have to, you know, sweep. We have to, like, clean the bathroom. We have to do all this stuff, and I don't know when to find the time to make that happen, to make that a priority, because all these other things feel like priorities. And I was really happy that, you know, at least we got to have like a really special Easter this morning with the kids. Passover this week. Oh, Passover. You know, I'm a little bummed about Passover. Does anyone else celebrate Passover that's feeling like it just didn't get to happen for them this year? I really love Passover. It's one of my favorite Jewish holidays. And I, you know, I just don't have the stuff to be able to do it on my own. That's why I love going to other people's houses, because they kind of make it possible for me to celebrate it in the way that I wish that I could, like, level up and celebrate it. Tyler says, Confession of Murder 2012.
He is correct. Ding, ding, ding,
ding,
ding,
ding, ding. Tyler, thank you, for the Tyler. Win.
That's right. Yeah, the serial killer comes out after the statute of limitations has come out and publishes a book called I Am the Murderer.
All right.
It's such a good movie.
It sounds kind of like OJ-ish a little.
So there's a lot of Korean crime dramas, uh-huh. right? But this one is like, it feels like a stage play. Like, it could be a stage play.
Cool.
I love films like that. They're like kind of like throwbacks to like early Hollywood films that were stage plays that just got adapted, and they kind of set up the way they filmed it in the same way, where it's like there's a lot of people in a room. For whatever reason, people enter the room, people exit the room, but most of your filming takes place on a set, and we don't really go from there. It's no Citizen Kane where we're like, the camera is like diving through the window and, you know, crossfades and shadows. It's just like...
Like the bad seed.
Yeah. No, it's like, here we are stuck in this room, and it's more like a stage play. And I appreciate films like that. Those are, sometimes they could be cool and not boring.
All right, going back to Passover. Passover. I was really thinking, oh, you know what? I'll do something. I'm going to do something. And I did make matzo ball soup, but not on Passover. Not the first night of Seder, not the second night of Seder. I made it on Friday night. I did not make challah bread, but we're not observing because it's just, everything just feels hard right now. And,
Very observant either.
Well, we're not very observant, but we do Shabbat-ish. Every Friday night. Shabbat light.
That should be it. Shabbat-ish.
I don't know. I'm definitely having some feelings about Passover and feeling sad about missing it, not being able to be with our dear friends in New Jersey or with any friends. I feel like since I've left my parents' house when I was 18, like, Passover has always been with friends for me in some capacity. I've always kind of just invited myself over to lots of different people's Passover Seders so that I always got to experience at least one a year. And then this was the first year, I think, that I really just did not do anything, but also I was feeling completely overwhelmed. The thing is that the world kind of stops for other holidays, but sometimes doesn't stop for Jewish holidays. And that same day we had a puppetry town hall that you participated in that we should talk about because it was very important.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that kind of finished right around the time that, like, we should have been, like, getting ready to start the Seder. And I was like, I'm not putting together a Seder plate right now and, like, figuring out how to tell the story. And I don't know. I just, the wall, the curtain just went down. And next year, I'll get it together. But this year felt like too much. Or maybe even next week. Maybe I'll do it next week and we'll just call, like, belated Passover. Sorry, kids.
Well, I feel like, well, all right. So I'm not Jewish, but yeah. I love every, like, a lot of Jewish culture,
mm-hmm.
right? I love me a good sermon by somebody who's explaining the best parts of the Bible, a.k.a. the Torah, and how that applies to us. And, like, not to take it too seriously. Like, these are just stories, guys. And I got the sense that... like Passover is so real right now because the story of Passover is the stories of Jews fleeing and surviving, and like everything is like thrown up into disarray and they're surrounded by plagues and death and 40 years of wandering, you know, are coming up, and like the status quo is kind of cast into the wind. And yeah, like there's these traditions that you mm-hmm. always follow, you know, every single year, but to have like a bit of chaos and doom and gloom and destruction is kind of like, you know, like, okay, like, don't we feel like a connection to this story in a way that we haven't really felt before?
Well, you know, I think I was feeling this, like, I totally put this on myself. Usually there's a leader of the Seder, somebody who leads the Seder. And in this situation, for either of the nights or both nights, it would have been me. And I just, I don't know, I didn't feel like I was up for it. You know, I didn't feel like I was up for the task of like being the kind of leader in that moment, and then also being the kind of Jew that I wanted to be. And it made me feel sad. And then I just kind of got bummed out and I didn't do it. So I don't know, I'm going to think on that some more. And think about what that means for me. And then, I don't know, maybe I'll do Passover next week. And, you know, I do have some beautiful plastic Seder plates for the kids that our friends from New Jersey gave us last year. And, you know, we made some really great Passover plague puppets for WonderSpark.
Mm-hmm.
What did we make? We had frogs. We did wild beasts.
And lice. I had to show my son a little animated GIF of what lice looks like because he was like, lice, who cares? I was like, actually.
It's gross. And then what was the other one? It was frogs, wild beasts, lice, which were creepy crawly bugs. And what was the other plague?
We didn't do rivers of blood.
No. Oh, we did locusts. That's so we did grasshoppers. So we had 4 of the 10 plagues.
Right.
10, right?
Yeah, we did not do the angel of death killing the firstborn's puppet. I don't think that would have flied.
You know, I was starting to get creative, though. I was like, well, we could do the cow, the livestock die, right? Mm-hmm. So we could just make cow puppets. And then you could act out the death if you wanted to, but it could just be a cow puppet, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
It's not like you're going to make a cow puppet with its, like, neck slit or something. Like, I'm just saying, like, make a cow
make
puppet, and then you perform the
and then
death.
Cut the lamb puppet open and have little, like, yarn blood come out, and like, now we're going to smear this on a door.
I don't know. I did the ones that felt okay. It felt appropriate. So we did 4 Passover plague puppets for WonderSpark, and then we did some Easter puppets too.
See,
and
we participated.
I want to know, is it okay to do Ramadan puppets? I was looking on Pinterest, because Pinterest is the answer to all things crafty, and I put in Ramadan crafts, and some interesting fun things came up, but there wasn't really anything that was like alive. It was all like stars and moons and decorations for Ramadan, but it wasn't, there was nothing that was like, oh, I could take that and make it into a puppet. So I'm wondering, is there something culturally that would prohibit that from being okay? Because I would love to be inclusive, you know, and like do something that would be, you know, like acknowledging, especially in our community, there are so many people who are neighbors of ours who celebrate Ramadan, but I'm not close enough with them to feel comfortable asking. But if you guys know anybody, and maybe I'll just post that question to my Facebook wall because I do know a lot of people. Somebody would be able to answer that.
I think it's sticky though, because like when we grew up, it was totally okay to use the stories of a culture that you know nothing about and just like present it as facts. Like even if, you know, nobody's fact checking you, or maybe you read like a book, you're like, hey, look at this book, kids, you know, and just take that as like, this is the definitive version of that story. But now it's like, it's 2020 and we're much more culturally sensitive about that, especially puppeteers. I mean, before this, like we were having like a couple years of like people retiring their American Indian shows and being like, and having the question of like, is it okay to tell these, like this culture's story, even though I'm completely divorced of it? And, you know, we were having a conversation about it. I think mostly because what we grew up with wasn't exactly cool. I mean, some of the coolest stories that I know of from other cultures, I learned in this way. Is it okay for me, who has like no inkling about anything happening in that culture, to tell that culture's stories? Maybe it's appropriate to learn about them.
That's what I mean. It would be learning about them. I wouldn't be like telling them like how to celebrate Ramadan, or even more than one sentence about what Ramadan is, because I don't celebrate Ramadan, and I'm not. And I don't celebrate any of the religions that observe Ramadan, but I don't know. I just was thinking about how in New York City, the religions that we tend to acknowledge the most are, Muslim religions, Judaism, and Christianity. And I was thinking about how it's so nice that we did crafts for Easter and for Passover, and that Ramadan was coming up. And so I don't know. Maybe there's something that I'm missing culturally where you don't do puppets for that. But if anybody knows, let me know, because I would really be interested to know if that would be okay, or if I am overstepping, or, you know, stick with what you know, Z. Any comments or thoughts on that, I guess, would be helpful. But that's what I'm thinking about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's been fun is coming up with these different puppet crafts each week. I'm like, wow, how many are we going to come up with?
Unending. We're at 25.
And we just keep going every day.
Pretty soon it'll be 25. But yeah, it's almost like keeping track of like how long we've been indoors is like, if you do like something daily, like your ritual every single day is to make something, then it's kind of like, well, like, just look back and see how long we've been inside.
Yeah. Well, we started the crafts on a Tuesday. We wanted to start on Monday, and everything was like kind of like too much that Monday. So we started on Tuesday with the craft. So it was like whatever the number is plus about 4 days is how long we've been here.
Well, Friday the 13th is when we started indoors. So yeah, it's Friday really easy to remember. Friday, March 13th.
That's right.
Tomorrow, guess what?
What?
It's our anniversary of being inside our apartment.
For a month?
Yep, for what exactly? It'll be the 13th tomorrow. Happy anniversary.
Mwah. Happy anniversary, honey. Do we get to have cake?
Every day's a good day for cake, as long as you have some yeast.
You don't need yeast for cake.
Okay, I'm not a baker.
But we could make cinnamon rolls, because we do have some yeast. My mom mailed me yeast.
I mean, maybe hold off on the sweet stuff, because we just did Easter, and my parents sent us like a lot of like chocolates and other sweet things, so we're gonna be eating that for like a little while.
Yeah, thank you, Helen and Mel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they're listening.
No, they don't. Their internet's not good enough to listen. So.
No. Yeah. But yeah, it's like it was a crazy week last week in terms of like, we performed a lot of private shows for Passover, so we participated, helping other people participate in celebrate Passover. Not as many as, you know, we had scheduled, but what are you gonna do? We sent those plague puppet links to a bunch of our friends and a bunch of clients. Yeah, and they all responded like, "Oh yeah, awesome, great, we're gonna spread this around."
That's so good. Good. And I don't know if anybody has any ideas of like holidays or themes or things that we should make puppets out of. That is super helpful for me, because sometimes I'm just like, what are we going to do this time? But if I have like some kind of mission, like a guide, then I'm like, okay, now I have a mission. I can figure it out. Parameters. Mm-hmm. I like some parameters.
Parameters.
So, yeah, parameters. Parameters. I'm from Western New York.
Could be from Jersey with that.
No, from Rochester.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't know about the Rochester accent?
No, is it like, meh?
Yeah, it's a little bit in there. Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I've been really loving? If also the quarantine stuff and the social distancing stuff is not only so many of our friends having live Facebook feeds, which has been really wonderful to watch, like in helping to promote our friends and the work they're doing, but also some of my favorite artists have been doing live feeds as well. And Jill Sobule, who is one of my favorite musicians and songwriters, every few nights she's been doing these like little intimate, just her and a guitar and her phone playing for a couple hundred people concerts. And it just makes my heart so happy. And I don't know, last night I got to watch that, and it was just really good. It was really good. And like, you would comment and she would read it and she'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, I can do that one, or well, I'll try to remember that one for next time. You know, but she's one of my favorite artists, and I don't get to see her that much. And I don't know, have you been experiencing anything like that where you feel like a connection to an artist?
Oh yes. Well, you know, The Facebook app on my phone, I feel like, is set up in a certain way that you're just kind of tripping over those, because Facebook loves videos. So if you're looking for a live video, or if you finish one, like if you finish this one, and you're on your phone, it's just going to scroll down to the next live video, which is probably like The Daily Show or somebody you know that who's like doing something live. So actually, I just randomly stumbled upon Schaefer the Dark Lord. Do you remember him from our from 2006 days when we were doing web content? So he's like a nerdcore rapper.
Oh, okay. And okay.
He did a double bill with Shale a couple times.
Sometimes I need context. Oh yeah. Yes.
Yeah. He always dressed in these very nice suits.
Yes.
And he's a very, very angry nerdcore rapper. But it was so nice So he did the set where it was like, bam, hating on this, and boom, take that religion, you know, and just like dropping some bombs here or there. And I was like, wow, this is so different than everything right now. Everything is like lovey-dovey, you know, heal the world, or like, oh my God, you know, this is a terrible situation and we're all in fear. And he's just like, boom, dropping bombs on this, and like, bam, spitting fire on that. And I was like, wow, this is actually kind of refreshing. to have like something that's just like, oh yeah, I remember being angsty, man. Remember we could be angsty? Not anymore. It's like nothing to be angsty about. We're just like thankful to be alive at this point. But he's just like, that's right, remember when you were angry in high school? Here's that song about that. Bam.
Well, you know, one of the things I keep thinking about, you're talking about like emotions and mood swings and stuff, mm-hmm. is like, I'm you know, the energy vibe of right now is like, we're going to get through this. What's it going to be a month from now?
Yeah.
And what's it going to be 4 months from now? I mean, I don't know. I get concerned about people's mental health a little bit in all of this. Also, you know, they canceled school for New York City for the rest of the year.
Well, they're still debating. But,
right, that's going to happen.
It's basically closed.
It's basically closed. Yeah. And I mean, other places, too, school canceled for the rest of the year. We haven't officially told the kids yet.
The school year, let's say, the school year, so up until June.
At least.
When people say it's canceled for the year, that doesn't mean until December. We haven't gotten there yet. We will.
We might.
But we haven't gotten there yet.
We don't know. We don't know.
Unless it's some kind of, I think we say this every week, until there's some kind of mandatory vaccination.
Or antibody check.
Yeah, or they can, like, scan you, or you have a doctor's note. Yeah, they're not letting you in.
I don't know. But it's confusing. And, well, I think the other thing that I have concern about is that, so for some people, the financial strain has already started to feel right now. And I think there's a large population of people, and we're included in that, where the financial strain is really going to start clicking in you know, in another 3 weeks when the next rent is due and the next utility bill is due and the next phone bill is due and like all of those things that are a constant payments, but you're not getting the same amount coming in, you know, that. Because last month we had some money still from like gigs and stuff because we had about, I think, about a quarter of our month, you know, income from March. The puppetry company.
Yeah, like the first week of March was like a regular month. And then it started to like salt and pepper out. And then like, then I was literally at the Jamaica Performing Arts Center in Queens. It was like a huge gig, one out of two. And I was like, wow, this place is amazing. And I set up and we did like the lighting and audio and we're just waiting for schools to arrive. And they pulled out, the schools called 5 minutes before showtime and they were like, no, we're not coming. And one of the schools had pulled out like an hour before. Second one was like, no, we're not coming. And I literally had to hand the check. Well, I chose to hand the check back to
the presenter.
Yeah, the presenter. And he was like, no, man, you keep it. And I was like, no, you know, like, let's reschedule. At that point, I was like, yeah, you know, reschedule like a few months. And now it's like maybe next year. Who knows? But yeah. So after that, there was like, back when I was keeping tabs on like all the cancellations, because we basically hit like 80 cancellations.
Like this month's credit card bill is going to hurt. Next month's won't be so bad. Nope, not as bad. Because this month's credit card bill is paying for last month's regular life. Mm-hmm. Regular life. Remember that? Regular life when we were like, oh, you want to, oh, we're walking home. Let's just stop and pick up something. Right? Or I want takeout. Yeah, that sounds great. Things like that. You know? Regular life. Yeah. Or, oh, we need groceries. Let's just schedule a fresh direct order. Yeah, I have still not been able. It's been almost 2 weeks to get a slot on Fresh Direct. Now, my friend says that around 5 a.m. is a great time. So tonight, I am literally setting my alarm for 4:45 a.m. just so I can snag a Fresh Direct grocery delivery time slot.
Well, which, like now that you put that out there, it's going to be like a different time.
12 people. 12 other people, some of whom don't even live in New York City. 14. Oh, it's going up now. Maybe because I'm talking about it.
Out, so shh. Quiet. We got to feed our family. No, it's like it's getting a grocery delivery order saves us from having to walk to the grocery store. Even though our local tiny grocery store, it's will give you gloves, which is super nice. And you know, everything's set up and nobody's there in the morning, so it's a good time to go. This election is not great and the produce has always been terrible, but it's
and
like
it's extremely expensive. It's better, a lot more expensive.
Yeah. So but it's better than standing in line at the regular grocery store not knowing like what germs are in everybody.
Right, because if you go at like 7 a.m. there's nobody there. But you know, it's I don't know. It, also, we pay to have like free delivery from Fresh Direct. That's like one of the things that we pay for annually is to have that, and we can't even get a time slot. And last night, I'm like literally laying in bed. It's 12:20 in the morning, and I'm like hitting refresh on the time slot, trying to get a time slot. And I swear I fell asleep doing that. Mm. So my friends say 5 a.m. So I'm gonna try for that, and then go back to sleep.
You know what they should do? What New York State unemployment has done, which is they should call you, because that's what's been happening with a lot of our friends, is like instead of calling 1,000 times in order to get through to unemployment, is like now they just have regular schmoes calling people, which is so much nicer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
So, yeah, great for all of our artist friends who are applying for unemployment out there. If you get that random automated phone call saying, we're going to call you soon, like, that means, yes, it's actually going to happen. Thank goodness.
And can we talk real quick about the SBA loan situation? Because I want to be able to update you all next week about that.
Well, a lot of people are on the same
I know, same but I just want to, like, commiserate for a second. Yeah. So Small Business Administration, PPP loans, like this is part of the relief package that was voted on and approved by the government, and the president signed off on it. And, you know, it's supposed to help small businesses, including sole proprietorships. Our business, our puppetry business, Wonder Spark Puppets, sign back there, is a sole proprietorship. And so we qualify for some, you know, loans from the government to be able to help us pay our employees during this time.
I think your waveforms are way bigger than my waveforms.
Well,
we're gonna have to figure out why.
Maybe because of my my beautiful timbre in my voice.
Maybe you need to get closer.
But anyway, one of the issues that we're having is that in order to apply for these SBA loans, you're supposed to go through your bank. Well, our bank is a credit union because way back when Occupy Wall Street was happening, one of the big days was, what was it called? Like something about, you know, leave your bank day or something.
Oh, like it was, what do you call it?
It was like close your account.
De-invest or something?
Yeah, it was something like that. So you were supposed to, you know, take your money out of like these big corporate banks and like reinvest into small community banks or credit unions. And I had said, you know what, Chad? We can do Actors Federal Credit Union because I belong to SAG-AFTRA. This is a perk of membership. I pay my dues every year. Let's do the credit union. Because they have no fees. Perfect. So we've been happy members of this credit union for years now. We love Actors Federal. They're so amazing. So when they said, okay, go to your bank, we were like, okay, we'll go to our bank. But guess what? Our credit union is not an SBA-approved lender. So we're not allowed to go through them. So then it's like, okay, so we have to find another one. Well, all these other banks that are like big wig head honcho banks, they are, so far, what we have found is only accepting people who have had business accounts with them since like mid-February. So that's not us. So now we have to go through a third party who will match us, kind of like Cupid or something, you know, like
Cupid.
Okay, Cupid. That's what I'm trying to say. Like Okay Cupid or Match.com.
The dating site?
Yes, it's like a dating site for banks. So we have to go through that. But in order to go through that, you need to have your 2019 taxes done. So then I had to like say to our accountant, like, hey, here's our tax stuff again. Can we please have this done? Even though the extension deadline, everything, like the money is first come, first serve. So it's like, oh God, the layers of stress, the layers. It's a lot. It's a lot. So next week is like a big SBA loan week for us where I need to go back to our accountant and say, hey, are the taxes done? Because as soon as she mails them back to us, then I'll have the paperwork to then to be able to fill out the stuff to go through the OKCupid people to then match us up with a bank who will then talk to us about these loans. Because you can't even start until you have somebody who will talk to you about it.
Now, see, this is why... Your description of the dystopian video game that's happening right now, this is perfect video game logic.
Really?
It's all tit for tat. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In,
well,
in order to leave the village to go out into the town, you need to do like, you need to like go find the cat so that the woman can go to work so that you can sell you like equipment so that you can talk to the king who can give you the quest. It's all like what we used to call like set the Boolean to zero, which is find the one person who you have to talk to in town in order for you to leave or to advance the quest to the next thing.
Right. Like in Star Tropics, you could talk to anybody in your little island town, but there's only one person who really has information for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I thought I heard a cat.
Oh, did you hear a cat? How about a child?
I don't know.
Can you talk to them for a second?
Go ahead.
Talk to the people.
Hey, people. So where are we at right now? We're almost at the hour mark. Let's see. By the way, if you're watching this on Facebook Live, just a little tech tip. And it doesn't say live in the left-hand corner. You were probably watching it like in the past, not actually live. And when you comment, but you're commenting on what we're talking about in the past, because you can rewind these things, your comments don't actually line up to what we're talking about in the present, if that makes sense. Like, Honey, bless her heart, keeps talking about stuff we talked about 30 minutes ago. It's like, sorry, honey, we've moved on. Whenever you get this, 30 minutes in the future, we love you. I love your honey bunny. It's so good.
Oh, it is really sweet.
I want to see more of that, so let's get some more backdrop so you can do a vertical video because I want to see all of that puppet. So it's not just this much, man.
I'm ready for it to be good. I want to see the background of the puppet. Like I want to see Wienerville style. Like, where's her baskets? Mm-hmm. Who's around her?
Yeah.
You know, who
yeah.
are her bunny neighbors? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be a bunny neighbor.
Yeah. You know what? You know, that would be an awesome thing. If you did Wienerville, but in Zoom, right?
Let's get Mark Wiener on the phone.
Wienerville used to be that where, like, in the show Wienerville, you'd see, like, the various, you'd see, like these little, like, blocks of, like, look like office cubicles, and inside is, like, a humanette puppet, which is, like, the actual human head, but with, like, a tiny puppet body with little arms going, you could do that
it.
In Zoom and just highlight different
styles.
People and bring back Wienerville in Zoom. Let's do it.
I love it. It's one of my favorite styles of puppetry.
It's so silly
and so irreverent. The reason that I had to jet out for a second is I just want to make sure that both our kids are asleep, and they are.
Yay.
So, yeah, because I had told Leaf he could have, I moved the bookmark in his book to like 4 pages forward, and it's like a thick chapter book. And I said,
dummy thick.
What's that?
Nothing.
I don't even know what you just said. I moved it like 4 pages forward, and I said, okay, deal. When you get to this bookmark place, you got to shut the book and turn off the light. And he promised he would, and he did. He did.
Yay.
Leave. I'm so proud of him. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. That was really good.
We had an interesting conversation right before bed because our younger son wears dresses occasionally, you mm-hmm. know, but our oldest son never did, except for tonight where he randomly put one on. And it's not like a frilly, you know, like girly girl dress, you know, just like something that just happens to not have like pants or something like a longer shirt.
It's a long shirt, so it looks like a nightgown.
Yeah.
Kind of.
So it was like the shoe was on the other foot, and the younger son was like, "You look like a girl," and we had to take a second to be like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! Don't you also wear dresses?" And he really loves wearing them, and he was like, "Oh yeah." And we had a moment where we tried to talk through like, not like just like gender politics and gender fluidity, but it was like, "Hey, man." You know, they're boys and girls can wear whatever they want and stuff like that. I don't know if it sank in, but like, we had a second mm-hmm. where we're just like, don't make fun of your brother, man, because geez.
No, he found a headband and he wanted to wear the headband tonight.
He was like, I want a necklace.
Yeah, and a necklace. I mean, just wanted to dress up. I was like, awesome, free to be you and me. Like you, like. I'm always happy whenever, especially like our younger son, he's a lot more relaxed and just likes to have fun and stuff. But our older son tends to be a lot more serious. So whenever he does like try something out like that, it means that he's feeling really relaxed and happy. So that to me was like, yay, that's awesome. You dress up, wear whatever you want. Mm-hmm. You know, one of his favorite shirts is a shirt that he painted himself. So, and he's outgrowing it. So we got to make a new one.
Time for a painting party.
Painting party.
Yeah.
Hey, anybody else having like flare-ups of like skin issues right now?
Wow, that is, you know, that is really personal.
I'm just saying it's a stressful time. And like I have like dry skin issues. And I'm finding that because it's so stressful right now that I just cannot seem to keep it like under wraps. And I'm looking for some solidarity, I think. You know.
Okay, that's the things that men and women share. Let's talk about gender for a second.
I'm all about relating.
Well, honey, you're still 30 minutes in the past. She's going to get our message to her in like 20 minutes, I think, and be like, ow, ow. No, it's like if the last time I hung out with like in real life with like a guy friend, it was like we talked about anything else, and then just as we were saying goodbye, he's like, oh, by the way, and then like we talked for half a second as we were walking apart about things that would be the first thing you would say, I'm assuming,
in
like
friends?
A mom group. Yeah, it's like, oh, by the way, this is what happened with my family. Oh yeah, my family too. Bye. yeah
well, you know, I'm thinking about things that like, oh, you know what else is weird right now?
What?
Like my feet feel weird. My feet
what else?
Feel weird. Can I say why? Because I haven't been wearing shoes very much. And so, like, my toes feel weird and my feet feel weird. So
gotta start wearing them shoes, man.
Well,
that's what I'm doing because my feet hurt.
Yeah.
My feet straight up hurt because, like, my squishy muscles and flesh on the bottom of my bones are, like, just flattened by walking on...
The weight of the world.
Yeah, because your body's not used to it, and then you suddenly are just like, I'm just going to not wear shoes and walk on hard surfaces all the time, and I have a standing desk. Mm-hmm. But even with, like, a squishy mat, it's not enough, so... As soon as, like, for all these shows and everything, if I wasn't sitting right now, I'd be wearing shoes right now. So I took my least scummy pair of shoes, ones without, like, years of, like, dog crap and gum and New York City caked onto the bottom. Relatively new.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been wearing those. I feel pretty good about it. It feels very American to wear shoes indoors.
It's very American.
Yeah.
I was thinking about getting a pair of house shoes, actually, like a pair of Crocs or something, just to give myself some, like, you know, it's like wearing the foam floor tiles under your feet all day, you know?
You could do that.
A little bit of cushion.
You could get, like, a rope and just strap, like, a few of those kitty, you know, floor tiles to your feet. You could, like, increase your height by a few inches, you know, and be comfy.
I don't know. I'm just not sure about it.
No, but could be good. Could be good.
We'll see.
So, all right. We're going to be topical, right?
Okay,
let's
topical.
Get topical.
Okay.
Topical.
All right, here we go. We're pivoting, people. We're pivoting.
No, it's just because...
What is it?
We had this long conversation last night that put us up past midnight.
What were we talking about?
We're talking about the Tiger King.
Oh, Tiger King.
So we're
in the last episode tonight. After this podcast, we're going to watch it. Don't tell me what happens.
No, don't tell them what happens.
I'm not. I'm just telling them.
No spoilers.
None.
No, we're on the last episode.
It's very exciting.
And what were we talking about? Empathy.
Well.
We were talking about empathy because I watched these episodes of these drug addict, gun-toting, lying.
You said you weren't going to give anything away.
What? That's not giving anything away. I'm not talking about specifics, but like... Some of the people that you will see in the show are, like, the worst people in the world. And because we did documentaries, mm-hmm. And I'm watching this, and most of it is from the perspective of the worst people on the planet, maybe the worst person on the planet, or one of, you empathize with them and to a certain extent. And I feel like it's dangerous to present... documentary truth, like, you know, you're not just watching the truth, you're watching a story. Somebody's telling you a story. They've edited these images in such a way to make you feel something. That's the goal of cinema, right? In theater, it's like you use your words and actors and lighting and stuff. Documentary is the same thing, but you're presenting it as truth. It's not the truth, but you're watching a documentary and feeling like, oh, this is true. And I feel like a lot of people are empathizing and relating to this sack of crap who, this is not a spoiler, the first 5 minutes is calling you from present day from prison and whining about how they're innocent. And that's that because of my past history, I'm like, that's like every prisoner ever is like, I shouldn't be in here and I'm innocent and I did nothing wrong. And then we get to see all your crimes and all your terribleness like unfold. But like, we talked about how, like, I was watching this every single episode. I'm just like, this is irresponsible documentary making. How dare they throw this certain person under the bus? How dare they present this awful person, like, in a relatable kind of a way? Because people out there are going to take this, you know, like, and be like, yeah, he's right. Why is he in prison? I can't believe the injustice thrust upon this person. But you had a different perspective.
I don't know. I don't really want to talk about it.
Wow. Okay, sorry.
Well.
There goes that.
No. I mean, what I'll say is at the end of every episode, I feel very conflicted. And I am having a hard time watching it. I mean, I'm enjoying watching it because I find that the people that it's about are so fascinating. I do find that. And I, out of anybody that is in the documentary, the person I want to sit down and have a long conversation with is the person who lost their arm to the tiger. That's who I want to have a conversation with.
Sure.
I want to sit down with that person and and talk to them about their perspective then and now, and what they think is true. Because I'm a very empathetic person, but I think I'm empathetic to a fault, and I have a very hard time knowing when I'm being taken advantage of or when somebody's lying to me. And I want to believe everybody. And so I'm watching this, and maybe both sides are not telling the truth. Maybe both sides are wrong, but it's very hard for me to be like, that's right and that's wrong. It feels very complicated. It feels very complicated because of the laws of our society, because of the choices that they're making, because of the choices they made with each other. I don't know. And I almost envy you, because for you, it's so cut and dry. You're like, clearly, this is not okay. This is okay. And I wish I could be that, like, you're right. And there is a part of me, this very logical part of me, that's like, yes, Chad is right, and that is how I should feel, and that's how I do feel. But then there's this other part of me, and I think it's like the manipulation of the filmmaking also that's making me feel like, that's how I feel, that sigh, because it just is complicated, and I just care about people, and I do feel that that all of these people are themselves complicated people, that they've all had a rough go in lots of different ways. And like, I wish that things weren't so difficult for anybody, you know, that it would get to this point. And I hope I'm not giving away too much. It's just, I don't know. And also, you know, like growing up, I knew a lot of people that didn't have a lot, and I was good friends with them and their families. And so when I see depictions of real life situations like that, similar to the Tiger King's facilities and like the kind of operation that he's running, I don't know. I get it. I just get it. It's also like a circus vibe, a circus culture, and I get it. And I could see why and how. So you might have people who are watching this and going, I have no idea how anybody could put up with that, or they're totally brainwashed, or why are they even there? Or, oh my God, that's a bunch of felons. And I'm like, yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense to me somehow. So I don't know. It's like a huge conflict, but we're going to finish watching it tonight, and then I'm probably going to read a whole bunch of stuff, which is what Chad keeps telling me. He's like, well, you don't even know, you got to read everything. And I'm like, okay, I'll read all the things. But I just it's a fascinating documentary. Every time we watch another episode, I'm constantly like perplexed as to how they were able to get all of the footage they have, because it feels almost like too good that they have so much on tape.
Well, I think that's the impetus for the entire documentary, is like, it's an easy score. It's like, hey, here is a crazy person in a crazy situation that a lot of people are going to be really interested in. And they've been documenting themselves for years and years and years, and they have like all this wealth of film that's already there. It's like, oh man, well, you just cut all the work in half.
But then how did they have access to all of it, make copies of all of it? I don't know. Like, I just have questions. I have a lot of questions. Yeah. Like, I want to talk to the people who made the movie too.
Well, they said in the series that they filmed this documentary with them for like four or 5 years.
Yeah.
So at some point they were given access to all their stuff, you know, and made copies, and, you know, were able to like edit it, you know, for years. You know, it's a 6-part series. Each episode is an hour long, and it's extremely high focused, and they don't use the same shots very often. Like, there's so much footage that they're able to just jump around from piece to piece.
But I'm fascinated by the people. I am. I find both Joe and what's that woman's name?
Carol Baskin.
Carol. I find both Joe and Carol to be fascinating individuals and troubled individuals, too. And I don't know. It's... my stomach rumbles.
Tiger tummy.
It is my tiger tummy. It's saying it's time for Tiger King. Chad, we need to wrap up this podcast so we can watch the last episode. But it has been a fun little escape from all of this each night this week. I wonder what we'll watch next when Tiger King is done.
I don't know, man.
Something else that's interesting. I like interesting things.
Something interesting. Yeah, it's funny. It's like we don't agree on much in terms of like, hey, what do you want to watch tonight? But the documentaries have been like our one thing that
we always like documentaries. Real stories are always interesting.
Yeah.
If you have suggestions for us of things that we should watch,
oh, that's true.
Paste them in the comments. Maybe we'll watch it, and then we can talk about it next week. What do we have to look forward to next week, Chad?
Less shows. For me, it's like
we're looking forward to that.
Yeah. No. So you don't know. So
you're right. I don't know.
No, we haven't talked about it, but it's like, doing these shows and streaming them online is so stressful. Mm. It's so stressful. But
that doesn't mean that you shouldn't book us. You should give us more stress. Give us stress.
No. So no, I don't think anybody like watching this maybe or listening like would, you know, is like, wow, this is... Anyway. No, it's like because this is all new for us.
Mm-hmm.
I would get like I got when we first started 10 years ago. I get so nervous outside of the gig, so nervous like driving to the gig because it was all new, you know, and it would just take a lot out of me emotionally.
Right.
And it was just wrecking me in terms of like stress until it was over. And then it was just relief. Right. So now it's like a different type of stress, and it's getting less stressful each time I do it.
Yeah.
But initially when we're doing these things, I'm like, oh my God, are we actually live? Like a hiccup is happening. We have to put out a fire here or start this over here. But the more I learn, the better the software we use, becomes, mm-hmm. you know, or like the more steps we take in the right direction, the more we do it, the easier it gets, the less stressful it gets. And the more kind of like a routine it's becoming, and that's what eventually it'll turn into. I mean, so last week to do all these shows and to feel that kind of stress that made me so relieved just to do the show. Like once we started and I was actually performing, oh, it's such a relief just to do it and to forget the world and just perform and try and focus on doing a good show. But every time it was just like afterwards I was so tired after each show, not because it's physical, because it is, but it was just like draining, just worrying about
anxiety
stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to like less shows this week just because it's like I just need a break, you
well,
know.
Well, I'll tell you the thing today, the top secret thing I did today for 4 hours at my friend's house recording. I'd never done anything like that before, mm-hmm. not on that level. And I can't say what it was, but it was very exciting. And I was super nervous last night. I was like going to sleep, and I'm like, Chad, I don't know. Maybe I'm going to mess up. I don't know. And you're like, no, it's going to be fine. I'm like, I don't know. And then today, I went in, and the first 10 minutes was a little shaky, feeling things out. But then I really felt like I hit my groove. And then for the next 3.5 hours, I was doing the thing I was doing. And I was getting a lot of positive feedback. So that was really nice. I you know, my love language is words of affirmation. Thank you very much. I'll take some anytime you want to give them.
Good job, sweetheart.
Thank you. Afterwards, I felt like, oh my God, I just want to fall over because mm-hmm. it was like I made sure because I was doing sound recording that I was standing up because I wanted to be able to be like I was in a recording booth and I couldn't be in a recording booth and I didn't want my diaphragm to be, you know, pressed or whatever or constricted and I wanted to be able to like move around. So I did all that. But then by the end, I was like, oh my God, I'm so tired. And like the stress of it being over. And the relief of it having gone well, I think it went well, was, whew, yes.
It just takes a lot out of you.
It does.
You know? Go ahead. Sorry, I closed the phone.
We should wrap. Yeah. My love.
Thank you, everybody, for listening today, or watching if you're watching the stream live over at facebook.com/WonderSparkPuppets.
Mm-hmm.
We are the Puppet Parent Podcast. That's right. This is episode 4, baby. Woo!
4 down.
So you can check us out over at, hold on 1 second, over at puppetparentpodcast.com. I'm going to switch us over.
Make it fancy.
Boom.
There it is. Wait, make it fancier.
Wait, hold on.
Don't you have the tab up?
I do. No, I'm going to send this over to puppetparentpodcast.com. There it is.
Oh, that's how you do it. Oh, look at this. Such a cute picture of us.
Yeah, so.
Look how happy and outdoorsy we look.
So you can listen to us on, here's the list, Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcast, CastBox, Radio Public, Pocket Casts, Breaker, Anchor. You could grab our RSS feed or just straight up download the MP3s over at our website at puppetparentpodcast.com.
So many ways to have us in your head all the time, talking about all the craziness that's happening here in New York City.
Yeah, and we want to hear from you guys. So drop us a comment over at facebook.com/WonderSparkPuppets, or you can contact us. Just head over to wondersparkpuppets.com. There's a bunch of ways you can contact us through there. Hopefully we'll talk to you guys soon.
All right.
Thanks so much, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Awkwardly
have a safe week. Stay well. Sending love and light.
Bye.
Bye.